The rhythm rolls in a steady chop, and the mic checks clip the night air. A tall DJ steps forward in a jockey cap with a grin that says he knows this crowd. The selector pulls down the bass, and the voice fires fast, clean, and playful. The dance surges. People who came to hear a tune now watch a performance. The nickname sticks to the speakers. General Trees. Younger Horsemen. Black Scorpio flag flying high. Those cassettes traveled far. The speed style turned a corner for live DJing, where timing and wit could flip a session in seconds. A radio man who liked his tone gave him a name that sounded like command. Then came the record that moved him from street fame to national voice. Before that moment, there was a boy from Drew's land, a shop bench, a sound he loved, and a stage he was ready to claim. Chapter 1. Younger Horsemen in Kingston. The afternoon light lay flat on the zinc fences in Drew's land. Inside a small shop, leather scraps and thread sat near a bench. He learned to watch hands and listen for rhythm there. The city taught him pace. The sound systems taught him timing. He followed Black Scorpio long before he held their mic. The set felt like a moving school. He studied the selectors, the crowd, and how a punchline could turn faces and lift hands. The street was his first classroom, and the next class came after dark. Black Scorpio was already a name in Kingston. The box stacks, the crew, the banner, the way a session could roll from lover's cuts to raw district talk without losing shape. People called it the horseman sound. Lord Sassafras held the senior spot with a big presence. When Trees joined the team, he took the younger role. The outfit matched the nickname. A jockey cap turned a DJ into a character the crowd could spot from the far edge of the dance. Stage rules were clear, and he learned them one Friday at a time. He was not the first in his family to try the mic. His brother had already touched the set, which made the goal feel close. He waited for the right moment. In the early nights, he stayed near the boxes and watched the hand signals between selector and DJ. He paid attention to the small things that move a crowd. A pause. A laugh line. A quick reply to someone at the front. When the selector teased the rhythm and a senior voice called for a young gun, he stepped in and found his speed. The fast style fit him. He could stack rhymes and keep sense. The words ran, but they did not tumble. The crowd caught every turn. The nickname came from a radio man who liked the tone and the quick switch of voices. A general with three voices in one. The name stuck because it sounded like rank and it sounded like fun. On stage, he made it work. He knew when to pull back and when to flood the beat. He used short setups with clear payoffs. The jokes landed and the boasts had shape. He kept the energy bright and held a clean pocket even when the drums ran hot. The sound system world judged you in real time, and he passed those tests with a smile and a breath that never seemed to run out. Kingston Dances gave him a wide map. Some yards wanted roots and message. Some wanted speed and slack talk. He did not chase every mood. He aimed to be the voice that could walk into any lane and still sound like himself. He built short sets with clear points. Big up the crew. Call a district. Flash a news bit. Slide a quick social note that made people laugh at the truth of it. The elders liked that part. He could say something sharp without turning the night heavy. It made selectors trust him with prime slots. The horseman link shaped his style. Lord Sassafras carried a large character, and he learned how to balance that with his own lane. He respected the senior man while building a separate voice. The stage had room for both when the chemistry was right. A fast bar could follow a sing-jay hook. A race call could flip into a work praise. In that space, the younger horseman used movement as punctuation. A small lean. A hand check. A walk across the front of the boxes to meet a cheer halfway and bring it back to center. Tape culture mattered. People recorded dances and passed the cassettes around town and across the sea. A good night did not end at dawn. It had a second life in taxis and shops. He knew that and started to build lines that worked once for the live moment and twice for the replay. He tightened his intros. He ended on lines that felt like signatures. He was shaping a voice that traveled. The wider the tape route, the more calls came for stage dates. It was a slow climb, but a real one. Each weekend added proof. The fast style did not come from nowhere. Jamaica heard speed DJing from abroad, and local voices made it their own. He took that push and set it inside the horseman sound. When the rhythm ran, he could sprint over it without losing clarity. That control changed how people listened. They leaned in. The speed was not a trick. It was a way to stack more story into one pull-up. He turned that edge into a brand. If someone tried to match pace, he answered with wit and timing. He stayed playful. He stayed sharp. There were rules to survive the circuit. Respect the selector. Keep the set tight. Do not overstay a moment. Read the women at the front and the elders at the side. Know which districts do not want a long slack run. He treated the job like a trade, and it paid him with small wins that felt big. A forward at the right time. A promoter nod after a risky line. A taxi man running a fresh cassette the next morning and calling out the best part by the stoplight. By the time the crew dressed him as the younger horseman, he had already decided what kind of DJ he wanted to be. He wanted songs that could leave the yard and still carry the dance inside them. He watched how studio hits sometimes felt flat on stage, and how stage monsters sometimes went quiet in a booth. He kept a list in his head of topics that could do both. Work. Travel. City talk. He waited for a story that could fit that aim and still feel like him. Chapter 2. Horseman Sound, Fast Style. Night air held the crowd on a field edge. Box stacks pushed bass through the ground. Black Scorpio opened with warm cuts, then tightened the turntable work until voices rose over the drums. The horse banners marked the set. The crew took the front rail. Eyes moved to the DJ in the cap. The horseman identity did not start as a costume. It was a shorthand for pace and command. The set moved with the confidence of riders who knew the track. One senior voice carried weight at the mic. A younger partner took the gaps and found space between snares. The crowd learned the pair by stance and tone before a single line landed. Lord Sassafras held the senior spot with volume and humor. His timing could freeze a crowd and then release it on cue. The younger partner stepped in with speed and crisp ends of lines. No clutter. No wasted words. Two approaches that met at the drop and made the sound feel complete. The fast style caught ears first. It was not speed for show. It was clean syllables that stacked story without tripping. When the drums ran quick, the voice stayed ahead by a single step. When the drums fell back, the voice eased and left space for the crowd. That control built trust. People leaned toward the boxes to catch every turn. Clash Knights sharpened the edge. A rival sound would reach for a louder horn or a rougher dub. Black Scorpio answered with arrangement and breath. The selector teased the first bar, scratched a phrase, then let the rhythm run. The fast voice slid in and drew a forward before the second chorus. The rule was simple. Win the minute in front of you. Secure the pull-up. Keep the tape sweet. Tape culture turned good nights into currency. A man with a small recorder stood near the stack and caught everything. That cassette sat in a taxi the next morning. It moved from driver to stall to shop. A week later, the same tape played in a district that had never seen the field. The voice traveled. So did the small jokes and district shoutouts. Word of mouth met plastic and stretched a career past the fence line. Speed chatting had echoes from abroad. Travelers brought stories of a quick-tongued DJ who turned heads in another capital. Those lines reached Kingston Yards through visiting selectors and migrating fans. Local voices took the tempo and made it fit the patter of Jamaican street talk. The result felt fresh and homegrown. It had the tone of yard banter and the clock of a race call. The younger horseman trained for that tempo. He set drills without calling them drills. He practiced breathing while walking to the corner shop. He counted bars while washing hands before a set. He read the crowd for cues to slow down and let a joke breathe. The goal was not to outrun the rhythm. The goal was to sit in it and carry the story across eight bars without dropping a thought. Stagecraft mattered. He kept entrances short and visible. A cap tilted. A hand raised to the selector. A simple, steady nod. He laid two lines to test the system and the crowd. Then he pressed the gas. When a line landed, he did not overplay it. He took the forward and pivoted to the next beat. The night had to keep moving. A clash could turn on a pause that ran 10 seconds long. Barry G's voice across daytime radio helped. A familiar tone in the afternoon announced the name and gave it weight beyond the field. The name fit the stage energy and the three-way play of voice, humor, and command. It sounded official without sounding stiff. People heard it at work, then met it again near the boxes. The two worlds reinforced each other. The horseman image stayed playful, not stiff. The junior role did not mean silence. It meant knowing where to stand and when to step. The senior voice would set a theme. The younger voice would answer with speed and a twist. The crowd liked the exchange. It felt like two friends finishing each other's punchlines, one loud and slow, one quick and sharp. Clash tapes from those years show a pattern. The set opened wide with Lover's Rock and easy sing-along lines. Then came work tunes and street checks. When a rival crew arrived, introductions ended. Space tightened. The fast voice took over the middle of the night. Two or three bursts turned a session. If the rival stumbled, the selector cut the music and let the DJ repeat the killer line a cappella. If the rival pressed, the crew reached for a custom dub with a singer's name drop for the district that paid the light bill. Fast style lived or died on clarity. He played with vocal tone to keep phrases distinct. A lower bar, then a rise at the end. A clipped consonant to stop a thought. He let the kick drum mark the commas so the ear could rest for a beat, and then run again. That is how humor stayed audible at speed. A joke cannot land if the last word smears into the next bar. Humor was a tool, not a mask. He teased work life, taxi routes, market hustle, small town pride. He kept it close to daily talk, so the lines felt earned. A crowd forgives speed when the content feels true. The same men who laughed at a Higgler joke nodded at a line about long hours. The same women who cheered a travel boast listened when he slipped in a short note on respect. Rival DJs tried to copy the pace. Some ran faster and fell out of breath. Some held breath but lost sense. The younger horseman stayed in his lane. He would answer a copy with a cleaner story. If a rival bragged about speed, he told a joke that made two districts clap. The point was not who could run the fastest. The point was who could own the dance and carry it until morning. Clothes and posture supported the voice. The jockey cap was not a toy. It was an identifier across a crowded field. A crisp shirt, clean shoes, and a stance that said he was ready before the mic left the stand. A promoter could pick him out from 20 yards. A camera flash could catch the hat and face, and tell a whole district who just locked the yard. Sound system life taught him to respect order. Selector first. Mic second. Crowd always. He kept the crew tight by calling names on time and never stepping on another man's best line. That discipline bought him freedom to try a risk. If a new punchline missed, the selector could bail him out with a pull and a known dub. Trust kept the night smooth. The Horseman brand was more than two men. It was a promise about pacing and variety. Lover's cuts at sunset. Work anthems after nine. Clash fuel near midnight. Culture near closing. The younger voice learned to move across those blocks without losing identity. He could hype, joke, and warn within one sequence and still sound like himself. That range kept him booked. Studio time slowly entered the mix. He visited rooms where the walls did not shake and the lights did not blink. A booth could feel quiet after a field. He adapted by treating the mic glass like the front rail. He imagined the same faces, the same vendor at the corner, the same man in a taxi with the volume turned up. He kept performance energy without shouting. He aimed for words that anyone could hear on radio without losing the street inside them. The question hung over this chapter of his life. Could the fast, clean voice that ruled a clash also carry a four-minute song that families would sing in kitchens and on bus routes? Many DJs never made that leap. They shone at 2 a.m. and faded by sunrise. He wanted both. Live voltage and national reach. Clues pointed toward everyday travel. People spent hours on the road in small buses and crowded stops. Drivers and conductors set the rhythm of each day. Fares, jokes, small arguments, sudden stops. That was a stage with a roof and four wheels. It was a place where a DJ's voice could sit next to conversation and feel natural. He kept that thought close. He stayed loyal to the sound that raised him. The same crew that trained his breath stayed in his plans as he tested hooks and topics. He was not chasing a big studio to start. He was chasing a feeling that sounded true outdoors and indoors. He wanted a song that felt live even when a person listened alone on a small radio at night. Every field session added data. Which jokes stuck? Which rhythms made elders nod? Which phrases taxi men repeated? He found that clear verbs worked. Street nouns carried weight. Simple chains of cause and effect gave listeners a handle. A passenger boards. A conductor calls. A stop comes fast. A bag falls. A man laughs. A woman warns. Real steps, one after the next. He also learned restraint. Not every line needed speed. A hook had to breathe. A verse could sprint. The hook had to wave to the crowd and ask them to join. He started to write with that balance in mind. Short, bright words for the chorus. Tighter bars for the story. A tag at the end of each verse that lit the pull-up. The junior role inside the Horseman team kept him humble. He never forgot that stage time comes with duty. Big up the elders. Respect the district that hosts the event. Share the light with the man who hands you the mic. Those habits became part of the brand. Promoters booked skill, but they kept working relationships for the men who made nights smooth. By the end of this run, he had a voice people could identify by the third bar. He had a name that sounded strong on radio and fun in a yard. He had a style that could turn a clash with two lines. The missing piece was a single that carried daily life with humor and pace. Chapter 3, Minibus 1986. Morning rush pressed into the bus park. Conductors called routes over a thin horn. Doors slid. Bags shifted. A rhythm lived inside the stop and start. He stood just back from the line and listened. Work life wrote its own chorus. Fares. Jokes. Small arguments. All of it in time with breaks and voices. The idea took shape before he named it. A song that sounded like the morning itself. The city was changing how people moved. Big buses fell short. Small ones filled the gaps. Private owners ran tight schedules and tighter aisles. Riders knew each line by color and driver face. Street wisdom spread seat to seat. Every commute became a rolling stage where wit, rule, and hustle met twice a day. He started to sketch lines that anyone who rode could finish. A conductor calls. A stop comes fast. A woman guards a bag. Someone squeezes past. A quick laugh cuts tension. He did not want a lecture. He wanted a snapshot with energy. It had to feel like a dance track and a street report at once. Simple words. Clear verbs. A hook that even a driver could sing while counting change. Studio time turned the bus park into sound. The rhythm had a crisp engine in the drums and a bright lick on top that felt like horn and brake lights mixed. He stood in the booth and pictured the front seat by the sliding door. He ran through the chorus at half speed, then at full. The producer asked for one more pass with clearer endings. He clipped the last word of each bar and let the beat carry the rest. The verses needed real detail. He picked moments that riders knew. The rush to board when rain starts. The sudden stop that makes someone reach for the rail. A small boast from a driver who claims his van will beat any rival to the terminal. No scorn. No preachy tone. The humor had to point in every direction, driver and rider alike. He wanted people to hear themselves and laugh without feeling put down. Friends heard an early mix and nodded. The hook stuck after one run. They asked him to spin it again in the yard without music. If a chorus lands a cappella, it will live on radio. That was the test. He passed it with a grin and a short breath break. The room felt sure. The song carried the dance inside it, but it worked for kitchens and shops too. Live shows gave it legs. He would ease a session toward street topics, talk about work hours and sore feet, then drop the first four bars. The crowd finished the fifth and sixth without a prompt. Selectors smiled. Pull-ups came fast. He learned to place the tune at that point in the night when jokes hit and everyone is loose but not tired. After two plays, he let it rest and moved to other topics. He kept demand high. Radio picked it up. Daytime spins reached people who never stayed out late. The name on air matched the name on posters at the dance. Men in taxis sang along during slow traffic and honked after the chorus. Kids tried the cadence on the walk to school. Market stalls turned up the volume when the first bar hit. A city moved inside a song, and the song moved with the city. Awards talk came sooner than he expected. The tune carried not only reach but mood. It felt like a map of daily motion. When the top song list for the year came together, his record stood in the middle of it, bright and undeniable. He heard his title called and thought of the first morning he stood near the bus door and listened for lines. He had turned a commute into a chorus that the country claimed as its own. Fame changed the booking board. Promoters who liked him in clash mode now wanted a headliner who could close with a clean anthem. New districts called. A coastal town that rarely booked DJs asked for a date. He arrived and found the same sea of faces that once cheered a fast joke, now waiting to sing a hook about travel. He let them lead the chorus while he counted the beats under his breath and watched their smiles on the turn. The song carried respect for small trades. Drivers who fought for space on the road. Conductors who kept rides moving in heat and rain. Riders who folded the day's worries under an arm and climbed in anyway. He kept the tone light, but the core honest. people said it felt fair. That mix of humor and care became part of his brand. He did not forget the sound that raised him. He still opened nights with raw yard energy and short social checks. The big anthem came after the room felt warm. That placement let the record land fresh each time. He protected it from overuse by letting absence build want. The pull-up count stayed high because he never stretched the moment thin. The song also taught him how to write for two audiences at once. One ear lived by the boxes where the bass shakes the ribs. The other ear lived by a radio on a counter where a mother prepares dinner. He learned to make work for both by swapping density. Verses held story and pace for the dance. Hooks held clear words and shared feeling for the home and road. That balance guided later sessions. Travel followed. The anthem moved to stages far from the bus park that sparked it. In another island, a crowd still knew the words. In a North American hall, a group at the front sang the chorus, and a row behind them tried to keep up. He watched that happen and understood the reach of a simple, true picture. People connect to movement because they live it every day. Not everyone loved the rise of small buses. Some wanted a return to bigger routes with stricter order. The song did not take a side on policy. It held a mirror to the daily ride. That choice kept arguments out of the chorus line while keeping the detail real enough to spark a nod from a rider who wished for more space and a smoother trip. The record also confirmed something he had suspected during long nights on field edges. Humor makes truth easier to hear. A line about a sudden stop says more about city strain than a hard lecture. A line about a conductor's quick hands says more about hustle than a scold. People can hear those things with a laugh and still carry the point. Success brought pressure. Every promoter asked the same question in different words. What is next? He had to answer without chasing his own shadow. A copy would sound thin. He needed new angles with the same clean grip on daily life. He started to keep notes again. Travel. Market. Work. Family routines. He looked for places where energy, wit, and respect could meet on a track. Studio sessions after the award felt different. He carried proof now. He still worked like a man with something to earn. He checked hook length against breath. He tested cadences against speed. He asked the engineer to play back the first verse with levels set low to mimic a small radio. If the punchline still landed in that setting, the track was strong. Crowds changed too. People who never cared for Clash wanted to see a performer who made them feel seen. He adjusted set lists to honor both lanes. He gave fast bars early for the longtime fans. He saved the anthem for a point when the room could sing as one without losing edge. That blend kept nights lively and inclusive. The song seeped into talk. Taxi jokes picked up phrases. A neighbor greeting a friend might use the chorus cadence, and both would laugh. Street vendors used lines as sales pitches. The tune became a shared reference that cut across age and district. That is how a hit acts when it belongs to people who live the picture inside it. He respected that ownership. He never claimed to be the only voice of the road. He said in interviews that the song was a snapshot that thousands fed with their own stories. He wanted to be the man who listened well and spoke clearly. The audience did the rest. They turned a track into a ritual that played twice a day across the island. Behind the scenes, the win brought quiet benefits. Better studio time. More say in arrangements. A chance to pick topics with care instead of chasing a quick trend. He used that space to think about how to follow a bus with a beach, a market, or a workday. The same principles applied. Real detail. Shared feeling. Hooks that breathe. Verses that run clean. The record also gave him a way to talk about respect on stage without sounding stiff. He could pivot from a joke about a crowded aisle to a line about patience in daily life. Crowds took that in good spirit because the laughter came first. He found a voice that could praise effort while still keeping the dance bright. When the year closed, the song sat in the top spot on lists that people care about. He heard his name called on a stage built to honor national taste. He wore a clean jacket and kept the speech short. He thanked the people who ride early. He thanked the people who work late. He thanked the sound that taught him breath control and timing. Then he went back to work. The next months showed the risk of a big win. Some audiences expect the same feeling forever. He did not let the hit define his whole set. He used it as a center point around which to build new stories. That plan respected the success while giving space for growth. He looked at the map of topics that still held energy. Travel had given him one. Market life could give him another. Tourism touched many families and held humor and pride. street trade built homes, and paid school fees. Those worlds had sound and color. They were ready for songs that felt both fun and true. Chapter 4, Negril and Market Lane. Late afternoon light washed the sand in Negril. Cars and minibuses rolled past the roundabout and joined the slow drift along the boulevard. Vendors set up near the craft stalls. A whistle cut the air as a boy offered cold drinks from a small cooler. He listened and smiled. This was a chorus waiting for a beat. The road west felt like a reward after weeks in Kingston. People planned for it. Friends linked rides. A cousin offered a room near the cliffs. A man swore his route was faster if you left before dawn. The beach gave space to breathe. Hotels set music by the bar. The sea kept time. He wanted a song that held that weekend feeling. The long drive. The first sight of open water. The way people switch from city voice to holiday voice without meaning to. He kept the words simple, so anyone could join. He kept the tone warm, so no one felt talked down to. It was travel as a shared joke and a small boast. The hook came easy. He pictured a friend at Halfway Tree, saying he was gone to the west, and would be back when the sun felt right. The verse moved through scenes. A driver who knew every bend. A woman telling the group not to miss the sunset. A link near the cliffs where someone dared another to jump. He kept it clean. He let the beach carry the mood. On stage, the tune opened a window. People in the crowd remembered their own trips and filled in the gaps. A man near the front held up a bag, as if he had just stepped off a bus. A woman waved a towel like a flag. The chorus ran, and the field felt like shoreline for a minute. That is how the song traveled. It did not argue. It invited. Tourism had layers. Big hotels sat on prime land and moved on their own clock. Small goosthouses fought for bookings. Taxi men watched the airport road and counted fuel. Bars traded on mood. Vendors kept families fed with craft and fruit and cooked food. He did not pick sides in the tune. He pointed to the people who made the place work day to day and gave them a small salute. The chorus shaped how he handled jokes. He avoided cheap shots at visitors. He avoided hard scolds at the small trades. He built lines that let both laugh. A driver who says he knows a shortcut and gets stuck. A visitor who buys a hat and then forgets it at the bar. A friend who falls asleep and wakes at the roundabout. Light moments that kept everyone in the circle. When the record moved, he saw what Negril meant to people who rarely left their parish. It was not just a beach. It was proof that rest and joy could be part of hard lives. The song became a small pass to that feeling. A man in town could hear it on a weekday and remember a good Sunday. A woman in the market could hear the first bar and picture open water. That is what kept requests steady long after the first run. He carried that same care into a song for the market lanes. Morning starts early there. Lamps flicker before the sun. Pot covers ring. A truck backs in. Voices trade prices and news side by side. He knew the faces. Women who moved goods from country to town. Men who lifted loads before the city woke. Every basket carried a story. The word Higgler held weight. Many used it with pride. It meant getting up before daybreak and making a way. It meant knowing how to stretch a small stake into a week of meals and school fees. It meant steady work without a boss. It also meant risk. Heat. Rain. Police checks. Bad days when goods spoiled or buses broke down. He wanted a tune that honored the work without turning it into a sermon. He built the hook like a roll call. Not a command. A bright hail. All Higglers who woke in the dark to meet a truck. All who spread cloth on a table and called out the first price with a smile. All who watched the sky and knew rain by scent. The verse listed goods that people know by sound and color. Pepper. Callaloo. Breadfruit. A string of small things that add up to dinner. The rhythm choice mattered. It needed a bounce that fit the pitch of market talk. Short phrases. Quick laughs. Space for a playful echo. He kept the tempo near the pace of a busy lane at mid-morning. Not a sprint. Not a crawl. The voice stayed light and respectful. He did not shout over the people he was praising. He stood among them. When he performed it in a town square, the response told him he had the tone right. A group of women near the front waved cloth bags. A man with a handcart lifted one wheel and grinned. The laughter came after punchlines that they owned. A vendor called out a price inside the chorus, and the crowd answered without missing a beat. The song was working the way he hoped. It felt like the lane itself had taken the mic. He kept an eye on detail. He knew a song can fall flat if it gets the small things wrong. He asked friends who sold goods how a morning really moved when rain hit. He asked how police checks went on a day when permits came up. He learned which phrases sounded true in the market, and which sounded like a man who only visits at Christmas. Then he trimmed the lines to fit the breath. The tune made space to talk about respect. He would pause after the second chorus, and give a short nod to the women who keep food on tables without fanfare. He would nod to the men who carry weight with tired backs. He would make the point and move back to joy. The night stayed bright, and the message still landed. People left singing and thinking. He noticed how both songs found balance. Negril held joy without erasing work. The market held work without losing joy. That balance matched his own path. The Clash stage and the studio did not have to fight each other. They could share breath and share purpose if the words stayed clean and the hooks stayed open. Travel and trade shaped the island in the mid-1980s. Many families had a relative in tourism or vending. Many had both. A song that honored those ties acted like a mirror. People listened and felt seen. That feeling lasts longer than trends. It can carry a name across years, even when the sound changes. He kept the sets tight. He would roll from the bus tune to the market, tune only when the room felt ready. Too close, and one would dull the other. Too far, and the energy would drop. He learned to read faces and find the right slot. The pull-ups stayed strong because he never chased them. He let the crowd ask. The market song also opened doors beyond the dance. Community events called for him to close with that tune. A fundraiser wanted a clean anthem that praised work. A school event wanted a song that made children clap and say the names of food. He adjusted lines for each setting without losing the heart. He took the songs back to Negril and to big city markets to test them in the places that birthed them. On the beach, the travel tune ran under a sky that turned gold. In town, the market tune bounced between stalls while sellers called out real prices. Those moments told him he had done the listening right. The place had accepted the sound. The two songs marked a shift in how some people heard him. He was still the fast voice who could win a clash. He was also the writer who could turn daily life into a sing-along without a sour note. That shift raised his ceiling. Promoters saw a performer who could hold a family crowd and a late-night crowd in the same week. He did not pretend that songs fix hard days. He kept the lyrics honest about strain. He named heat and long hours. He nodded to the man who reached home after dark and still lifted a child. He nodded to the woman whose feet hurt, but who kept the smile that sells. Joy and strain share space in real life. The record had to share that space too. The market tune reached corners he did not expect. A church group used it at a fair. A union played it at a rally. A politician tried to wave a flag during the chorus. He kept a careful distance from that part. He wanted the song to stay with the people who gave it life, not with offices. When he spoke on stage, he said the same thing each time. Respect the work. Keep the place clean. Pay fair. He watched younger DJs take notes. They saw that a clean idea could cut as hard as a raw boast. They saw that a hook about real places can pull harder than a storm of words. He felt proud of that. The Clash world had taught him speed and breath. These songs taught him patience and line weight. Both skills mattered. Negril kept changing. New hotels rose. Rules shifted. Beach sellers moved to different zones. The song did not chase every change. It held to the feeling of a weekend when life lifts. That is why it held its spot in set lists, even as years moved. People do not forget the first time a road west gave them peace. The market kept changing too. New goods came in. Prices jumped. Permits and fees changed terms. Yet the core stayed. Early mornings. Hands that know how to weigh by the eye. Voices that can make a price sound like a greeting. The tune honored that core. That is why it kept meaning something when times got rough. By the close of this run, he had proof that the right detail can turn a local story into a national chorus. Travel and trade carried his voice into homes that never walked into a clash. That wider reach called him toward rooms with better mics and different pressures. It was time to think about albums, overseas dates, and the business side that rides with fame. Chapter 5, Studio Labels Tours. The studio door changed the rules. A booth felt quiet after the field. He carried the dance inside his chest and spoke to glass as if it were the front rail. Breath control and timing now had a meter that did not bend for a crowd. Black Scorpio built more than a sound. The label and studio gave the crew a home base. The same hand that tuned the boxes now tuned the board. He trusted that ear. It kept the grit that made people shout and shaped it into songs that traveled past the lane. Early albums showed the step from yard to record, a title that saluted the Horseman persona, a set that chased speed with clean ends of lines. Work songs and travel songs sat beside quick jokes. Each track held a little of the field and a little of the shop counter radio. Producers liked that he wrote to the lives people led. They also liked that he took direction without losing edge. If a hook needed more air, he trimmed words and left room for hands to rise. If a verse ran long, he cut to the heart and kept the punchline loud and clear. Labels outside his home circle came calling. A New York imprint asked for a set that would meet diaspora crowds halfway. A London label wanted a title that carried the city name and a street mood. He worked with both. He stayed loyal to his base while learning how a contract reads and how a calendar fills. The sound of the island shifted. Drum machines got meaner. Keyboard lines got brighter. Rhythms moved with a new snap. He rode that change without dropping story. The voice stayed sharp. The breath stayed long. The humor stayed local even when the record crossed water. Combination cuts added color. A rough bar from a brethren. A sing-jay hook that softened the edge for daytime play. In that mix he learned how to leave space for another voice without losing his stamp. The cap and the cadence still told the crowd who held the lane. Singles turned into tour dates. First it was parish to parish. Then it was islands. Then a hall in a cold city where people wore coats indoors and still sang every word. He learned borderlines, sound checks, and the way a small band can carry a big room if the front man keeps the pocket. A European run showed how far tape culture had reached. Men who once traded cassettes in barbershops now stood in crowds that knew pull-up signals and chorus breaks. He gave them the field inside the theater. He kept speeches short. He let hooks do the heavy lifting. Back home, the studio kept turning. He tried topics with the same test as before. Can a driver sing this while counting change? Can a vendor hum this while setting out goods? If the answer was yes, he pushed the record. If the answer was no, he went back to work. Business learned him. Managers matter. Paper matters. He made mistakes and paid for them. A split went sour and he moved on. A man who once booked him for late slots now argued over credits. He kept his circle tight and watched who showed up on hard days. Album cuts carried small risks. He tried a calypso lilt on one set because the season called for it and the crowd wanted the light bounce of fate time. He tried a tune that praised horsemen beyond the stage because the image fit and the island loves a good race. He did both without turning costume into joke. The core never changed. A clean hook. A verse with steps that anyone could follow. Everyday nouns that land fast. He built sets that a promoter could trust. First half for longtime fans. Second half for families who came for the big chorus. The encore for the heads who stayed to the end. He used studio time to fix a problem that yard work hides. In a field, a bass line covers a soft bar. On a record, the soft bar stands alone. He fixed weak lines by swapping in verbs that bite and trimming the fat from setups. He checked breath against mic distance so the end of a word would not vanish. The rise of raga pushed pace and posture. The drum spoke in square blocks. The voice had to step clean across those blocks without smearing. He learned to place jokes on the fourth and save boasts for the next eight, so that both landed. That awareness kept him fresh while peers faded. Tours tested health and voice. Night after night can grind a man. He warmed up with small drills he learned in the yard. Long breaths. Short counts. He kept water near and noise low before sets. He asked for a few minutes alone to see the running order in his head. Then he went out and made it feel easy. Crowds abroad surprised him with their memory for deep cuts. A man in Hamburg asked for a B-side that barely got spins back home. A woman in Toronto rapped a fast verse line for line. He took that as a warning and a gift. The work you think small may be big to someone else. Keep standards high on every track. Radio hosts overseas loved the voice and the stories. They asked about the bus tune and the market tune. They played those and then asked him to drop quick freestyles. He kept it clean and quick. He left them a tag they could replay all week. The name stuck in new places. Contracts grew thicker. He learned to ask who owned the master and who kept publishing. He learned that a kind word can hide a bad clause. He leaned on elders who had seen both sides of a deal. He kept copies of everything. He paid attention. Some nights did not go well. A sound man missed a cue. A promoter cut the set short. A flight delay ate a sound check. He kept calm and did the job. He never aired a grudge on stage. He saved that for a phone call the next day. Professional habits kept invitations coming. The studio became a place to mentor. Younger voices asked about breath and pacing. He told them what the yard taught him. Respect the selector. Leave room for the crowd. Keep hooks simple. Write with people in mind who work early and sleep late. When they asked about speed, he said clarity first. Albums marked chapters in his life. One set carried the rush of first wins. Another carried the strain of the road. A third held the pride of a man who found balance between fame and home. Track lists tell stories that interviews cannot. He left those stories in wax and moved on. The label Run Abroad gave him a view of how the music travels. A small office in a brick building could push a record across three countries. A warehouse could hold boxes of vinyl that end up in a shop where a kid falls in love with a voice he has never seen live. He liked that chain and respected the people who kept it moving. Tour money brought choices. Buy a car or save for a home. Chase a quick fashion or pay the band well. He picked steady moves. He paid the men who stood behind him and made sure his mother had what she needed. He knew hot seasons pass. He prepared for quiet months. Studio politics came and went. A man left a team. A new engineer arrived with a different way to set the highs. He adjusted. He kept his ear open for fresh rhythms that matched his talk. He did not chase every trend. He chased the ones that fit his face and voice. He never let the horseman badge turn into a costume without meaning. On stage, he wore it with pride. In the booth, he let the words do the work. The image drew eyes. The lines kept ears. That balance is easy to lose. He guarded it. By the end of this stretch, he had a catalog that could fill a night without repeats. He could open with speed, glide into travel, hail the market, drop a lover's tune, and return to clash mode for old time's sake. The range kept him booked and kept crowds guessing. Chapter 6, Setbacks and Return. The pace of the road slowed without warning. A health shock cut his calendar, and his voice dropped to a quiet line. Doctors spoke in careful tones. Family held the room and kept the phone still. The man who once ran 12 shows in a month now counted steps from bed to chair and back again. A stroke tests breath before it tests anything else. Words did not flow on command. Tongue and lip needed fresh work. He faced the mirror and saw a fighter who would not beg the stage for mercy. He accepted the small gains. A clean syllable. A longer hold on air. Calm through the frustration. Rehab became a job. Slow drills replaced fast bars. He read short passages and tapped the table to keep time. He shaped vowels until they landed. He stood, took two steps, sat again, and tried to speak a line without rushing. The man who once measured sets in pull-ups now measured days in small wins. Friends called and kept him laughing. He needed that. Laughter made air move and moved the mind off fear. Musicians sent voice notes with greetings and inside jokes. Old rivals sent respect. The sound system world can be rough on stage, but off stage it remembers hard work and clean heart. He watched clips to relearn what his body once did without thought. How he held the mic. How he tilted his head to catch the next cue. How his left hand set the pulse for the chorus. He studied himself like a student and made notes. Small things matter when the big engine stalls. Radio hosts ran birthday salutes and played deep cuts. Taxi men spun old cassettes that still sounded fresh. The island kept his name alive. He heard that and took it as a promise. If he got back, he would show up ready. He would not treat a stage like a given thing. Nurses became part of the story. One told him she grew up hearing the bus tune at the shop where her aunt worked. Another said her father drove a route where the chorus took over the morning. They were not fans in the way of pull-ups and big nights. They were people who lived the songs. That gave him strength. Speech therapy met breath drills. He held a note for a count of four. Then five. Then six. He formed crisp ends of words. He paced lines so that meaning came first and speed came after. He stayed patient. He knew that a rushed return would break the work. He found a simple rhythm for walking again. He counted bars to reach the corner. He stood still and breathed through a verse in his head. He kept time without music. He learned to love quiet. It taught focus and control. Months later, strength returned in pieces. He could talk with ease over the phone. He could hold a room of family and friends. He could sing a hook in the kitchen and hit it clean. He dared to think of a stage. Not tomorrow. Soon. The first rehearsal felt like entering a familiar yard through a new gate. He greeted the band with a small smile. He kept the talk short. He asked for tempos that gave space to breathe. He walked through the set list. He cut anything that felt like a race. He kept the big ones. The crowd would expect them. The cap sat on his head for the first time in a long while. It felt light and right. He looked in the mirror and saw a man who had earned every line on his face. Age tells its own truth. The crowd can hear that truth if you let it into the mic without fear. He chose the stage for the public return with care. It had to be home. It had to be a place where the crowd loves voice and story, not only flash. The date came in January. The field in Saint and welcomed a sea of people who value roots and respect. The show's name carries a promise. The night keeps it. He stood at the wing and listened. Band check settled. Hosts warmed the field. He felt the old jump in the chest and the new calm that rehab taught him. He touched the mic lightly. He took one long breath. He stepped out. The first lines were slower than years past. That was by design. He went for clarity first. He let the crowd meet his breath and then walked them forward. A joke landed in the front rows. A nod came back from the far edge near the lights. He knew he was home. The pull-up came. Not for speed. For presence. For the sound of a man who had walked through a hard season and returned with grace. He did not milk it. He reset the hook and let the field sing. He joined on the second line. He smiled without hiding it. He mixed the night with care. A travel song for the joy of it. A market hail for the work of it. A fast burst to show the engine still had torque. Short talk between songs with thanks to the people who sent prayers. He kept it tight. He respected the bands to follow. He left room on the clock. The crowd gave him their own medicine. Healers come in many forms. That night they were 1,000 voices under open sky. Their sound filled any small gap left by illness. Their hands lifted a man who had lifted them for years. That exchange writes its own story. Backstage, he sat for a minute and took stock. He felt the legs hold steady. He felt the chest settle. He felt the mind quiet. He had done the thing that mattered. He had turned a room again. Not by tricks. By truth. Calls came in the next day. Radio hosts asked for a word. Younger artists sent notes of thanks. They had grown up on tapes of the Horseman team. They had tried the fast style on school benches and in corner yards. Seeing him return told them that the path does not end at a wall. A man can climb slow and reach again. He kept the schedule light. Health first. Family first. Shows in rooms where the sound is clean and the crowd listens. He picked dates that honored the work without risking the gains. He refused to be a cautionary tale. He wanted to be a lesson in pace. The voice changed in small ways. Age and repair leave marks. He did not fight them. He leaned into tone and timing. He used humor to carry weight. He let hooks breathe so the crowd could take them and make them theirs. He did what elders do when they still love the craft. He spoke to younger DJs about breath. He told them to build from the core and guard it. He told them to train like athletes. He told them to respect sleep and water. He told them that a career is a season, not a weekend. He had earned the right to say those things. In quiet hours, he listened to demos from new voices. He heard the speed. He heard the hunger. He pushed them toward clarity. He told them to write for people who work early and ride long. He told them to build hooks that children can hum without trouble. Simple rules that save time. He watched the island honor elders more openly. Shows gave them solid slots. Bands learned the old arrangements with care. Crowds brought their children to see the men and women who built the lane. He was part of that bridge now. He took the role with pride. He recorded a small set of fresh lines after the return. Not a full album yet. A handful of tracks with clean hooks and clear images. A tribute to travel. A nod to work. A shortcut for a parade that needed a bright chorus. He kept the tone honest. He let the new grain in his voice carry emotion that speed alone cannot reach. He also opened old notebooks. Unused lines found their point now. Recovery had given him a new lens. Patience made the writing stronger. He cut anything that felt clever but thin. He left what felt true. People asked if the fast style still lived in him. He answered on stage in small bursts that proved the muscle remembers. He did not chase the clock. He chased meaning. A clean 8 at the right moment does more than a sprint that says nothing. He made that choice over and over. He stayed grateful. Gratitude sat under every verse now. It did not turn the night soft. It made the night steady. The crowd could feel it. They stood taller when he thanked them. They sang louder when he asked for one more chorus. The return set his place in memory. not only as the man who won a year with a bus tune, not only as the younger horseman who turned clashes, as the voice that carried daily life with humor and respect, left the stage when he had to, and walked back with care. Chapter 7, Legacy, Fast Style, Elder Voice. Legacy lives in the ear first. Say his name, and people hear the quick cut of consonants and the clean end of a bar. They hear a crowd laugh in the middle of a fast verse. They hear a hook that sounds like morning on a bus route. Fast Style once felt like a trick to some. He proved it was a language. He kept sense at speed. He kept timing so tight that a selector could set a pull up from the first punchline. Tapes carried that standard into places he never saw. A cassette in a taxi. A dub in a corner shop. Years later, a digital file shared between two friends who never met him. The voice stayed sharp across formats because the lines were clear. Younger DJs studied breath before they studied boasts. They learned to keep endings crisp and jokes short. They learned that speed must serve story. Many say they found their pocket by running his verses and trying to match clarity, not only pace. Stagecraft sits beside the voice in any honest measure of his work. He understood entry, placement, and exit. He dressed a character that crowds could spot at 40 yards, and then he justified the attention with control. A hat drew eyes. A verse kept ears. The horseman era taught a form that still works. Two voices in steady exchange. One heavy and grand. One quick and bright. The call and answer set a pattern that bands and sounds still use to hold a night together. He honored seniority while carving his lane. He pulled daily life into songs without turning people into props. Travel markets, work hours, small jokes, small stings. He kept tone fair. He gave praise room to breathe. That is why families sang along. That is why elders stayed to the last chorus. Black Scorpios named threads through his legacy. A sound that trained breath and timing. A label and studio that turned that training into records. A crew that kept order so risk had a safe place to land. When people talk about the great houses of Jamaican music, that banner belongs in the line. Archive work matters now. Old cassettes need clean transfers. Names on flyers need dates. Stories from the men who lifted boxes and tuned horns need a mic before time erases detail. His career shows how much history lives outside formal rooms. It lives in tapes, in venues, in the hands of selectors and fans. He carries the elder role with plain talk. He tells young artists to train like athletes. He tells them to protect sleep and water. He tells them to write for people who ride long, sell goods, and count cash late. He says a hook is not a trick. It is respect for the listener's time. His return after illness added a new layer. Speed is not the only measure. Tone moves hearts. Space in a chorus can say more than a sprint. He showed that a voice with a little grain can carry weight that youth cannot fake. Promoters know what they get when they book him now. A set that honors the yard and the home. Early fast bursts for the heads. Big choruses for families. Short speeches. Clean exits. A night that feels held, not dragged. Writers point to a simple rule he proved again and again. Humor tells truth without making the room hard. A conductor's shout. A vendor's price. A driver's brag. These small moments open a door to bigger talk about respect and effort. He kept business lessons simple. Read your paper. Ask elders to check terms. Keep copies. Pay your band right. These habits do not make headlines, but they keep careers alive when hot seasons cool. His catalog offers a path for study. Early cuts show the raw rush of a man who found a lane. Mid-records show balance between field and booth. Later lines show patience and tone. A listener can track the learning curve without a guide. Abroad, his name marks a map of diaspora memory. People left the island, but carried tapes and hooks in bags and heads. They built rooms where those sounds still make a night feel like home. He steps on those stages and meets eyes that have waited years. At home, elders and new acts share bills more often. He stands in that bridge space and sets a tone. He gives thanks without turning soft. He gives space without giving ground. Younger voices see a route from clash to catalog to elder status. Not every chapter was clean. Some deals went rough. Some nights fell flat. A health wall stopped the run. The measure of a career sits in how a person responds. He slowed, trained, returned, and kept standards. That steadiness is part of what people mean when they call him feared and loved. Education programs now look to sound system history as core, not side note. His story helps teachers ground big ideas in real lives. A class can hear a bus hook and then talk about transport, labor, and change. a market chorus can lead to talk about small trade and family budgets. His influence shows in craft choices others make. Clear hooks. Everyday nouns. Respect for crowd intelligence. Short talk between songs. Care with breath. These are not trends. These are tools. He put them in the kit for anyone who wants them. The horseman image still shows up in posters and stage art. It is a memory and a promise. A reminder that a sound can carry a whole district's energy. A promise that a DJ can be a character and a craftsman at once. What remains for him now is simple. Keep work honest. Keep standards high. Share what you learned. Protect the catalog so grandchildren can press play and hear a man who loved his people enough to write in their voice. Crowds still bring the medicine he brought them. They sing the bus chorus before the first drum. They hail the market line without a cue. They lift the fast verse with their own breath. They prove the point better than any tribute. If a young artist asks what to study, the answer fits in one breath. Study clarity. Study timing. Study how to tell a small truth that many people share. Then carry it with joy. A legacy like this does not end with an award or a final show. It lives in routes and lanes and yards. It lives in voices that learn to move quick and stay clear. It lives in the space between a selector's pull and a crowd's shout.